Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to a week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast, and we are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my best pal, a man who's not stressed in any way, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
Happy to be here, Connor. Thanks for having me. Oh, this is always a joy every single Monday.
We jumped on the call and you said, I haven't slept. I've had a real stressful day. Let's go.
Yeah, literally, usually we have like 5 minutes of preamble. Straight into recording this time.
He didn't want to hear my nonsense. And me saying I had a great day did not help.
No, he kept saying how much better of a day and life he has than me.
Use your empathy and be happy for me.
Connor, I used up all of my empathy for the year. Okay, it's January. I didn't have that much to go around.
So this is Movie Mondays. If this is your first episode, as I said, we just talk all the week's movie news. But if you've been here before, if you could give us a like and review, whatever podcast platform that you're listening to this on, would really, really help us out. Now, here's the thing. We are recording this on the Sunday. So, I mean, I know James Gunn is announcing DC news, and he said before the end of January, and I just know that fucker's dropping it on a Monday. So
it is possible.
I'm getting in early that we don't have any of the James Gunn news if he's announced something which we don't know if he has,
unless it drops in the next, I don't know, 50 minutes or so. We are not going to cover the James Gunn news.
He'll drop it exactly the minute we hit stop record, and I'm like, oh gee, always.
So what happened with the Oscar nominations fucking last week?
Yes, that is true. So actually, Sean, now that you mention it, we are opening
professionals.
7 days I've been waiting to gloat to the rest of the world. 7 days.
It's our Oscars now.
Look at us, look at everyone huddle in, right? We told you fucking years back what was going to happen here. We were taking over and nobody believed us, Sean, right? Nobody fucking believed
us, me.
Right? So, the main man, Mr. Barry, right? When did we give Barry a shout out? 2019?
It must have been. Like, it was when the Eternals casting announcement, I believe.
Oh, man. We gave him, and everyone was like, who the fuck is that Barry guy? Fucking Oscar-nominated Barry Keoghan, thanks very much.
Soon to be Oscar winner Barry Keoghan.
Well, Brendan's also in it. He could win it as well.
That's true. That is true. Has he been in a Marvel thing yet, Brendan Gleeson? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. He was in that movie on Cork and Millish.
He was. He was. So it's soon to be starring Oscar-nominated Oscar winner.
That's a
Brendan
reference
Gleeson.
Nobody else gets unless you grew up in Ireland.
That is niche. That's the most niche thing.
But, but yeah, so look, the Oscar news dropped this week, and we're going to start this week because there's a lot to discuss. A lot of awards, a lot of things to cover, and between you and me, Irish people are up for 40% of them, so it'd be weird if we didn't cover it.
Now it's the O apostrophe scurs is what it is.
We're taking over, right? It's us and everyone and everything everywhere all at once. They're the only two people winning anything this year.
Look, two great groups of lads, quite honestly, as far as I'm concerned.
The Irish and the cast and crew of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Well-deserved awards all around, yes. But also, just the reaction on Twitter, Irish Twitter specifically, is that we're all just real proud of everyone involved.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it's great to see it. It's great for the county, great for the parish.
It's great for everyone, mostly because, like, we don't normally win anything ever in any capacity. So the fact that we have this many awards nominations, we're guaranteed at least one. We have to get one of them, Sean. And that person will be hailed as a god here forever. Saoirse is already locked in. We got somebody else.
We've got Saoirse. That's fine. Like, I think, because Colin Farrell is up for Best Actor, isn't he?
Yes.
Now, if Colin gets it, Jesus, that's going to be a celebration right there.
We're going to go mad.
If anyone gets it, man. Like, on Colleen Kuhn as well, The Quiet Girl, that's up for Best International, which, that would be massive if an Irish language film won Best International Film at the Oscars.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be very much an Irish view on the Oscars. So, I mean, if you're coming here for unbiased opinions, you're not getting them here. Because, I mean, to be honest, every other movie is shit, Sean. Every other movie is
shit. I refuse to watch any movie that was
Actually, I was really surprised The Batman didn't get nominated for more. But, I mean, that's just because of my probably personal bias.
Probably the bias towards it, yeah.
Didn't even get nominated for, like, Best Music.
Yeah, which was a weird one, because that, like, is one of the most iconic soundtracks of the last year, I would say.
Like, I'm not asking for Rob Patz to get locked in. I can understand the other nominees. I'm just saying, Best Director even. Like, that movie looks pretty fucking great. Like, if you wanted to put it up for a cinematography, fair play. I don't have gripes, Sean, because it's one of those where I was like, oh, what the fuck? Batman, oh wait, no, we're in every nomination category. Okay, cool.
Yeah, honestly, like, Paddy Power has a thing of, like, Irish people that were nominated for Oscars. You got Colin Farrell, you got Paul Mescal up there. Martin McDonagh.
We're talking about Paul.
Best Editing, The Banshees of Inisherin. Jonathan Redmond for Best Editing for Elvis as well. Live Action Short, An Irish Goodbye. You got Barry, Brendan, Kerry Condon. You got Richard Banaham for Best Visual Effects for Avatar The Way of Water, Connor.
So, also, Martin McDonagh's both his parents are Irish. So here's an interesting one. Do we claim him or do we... Because he's very talented, but he's technically English. So,
but no, he's one, like, come on.
Both your parents are Irish.
If you can play on the Ireland squad, you're Irish. You know,
that's true.
That's what I would say.
That's true.
There's a whole rule about that.
Like, there is a rule. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Where do you kind of want to start covering this? Because
before we get into just how good Banshees of Inisherin is, fucking great for Paul Mescal, isn't it?
Oh my god, it's fucking mad, right? Because we talked about him a few weeks ago with Gladiator 2, and I think we have a blind spot for Paul, because we see him as just like...
one of the lads.
But it's just Paul. Like, we don't know him personally, but we all know him as, like, every group of friends has a Paul, and he's just one of the lads, and he's kind of sound, and he's good at sports.
Yeah, he just gets on with things, you know. There's never any bother with Paul.
No, there's no hassle with Paul.
But I don't know if anyone saw, it's been doing the rounds on Twitter, but, like... for ages, everyone in Ireland knew him because he was in an ad for sausages. Like,
and it was Denny's a pretty good ad.
It's a pretty good ad, as ads go. It's one of the best.
So the ad, I'm going to describe the ad,
my friend.
So it's 2018. Paul Mescal is just, he's just getting acting gigs wherever he can. And this is literally 4 years ago now. So 4 years ago, he starts in an ad for sausages, and the ad is just him and his dad at the kitchen table, and they're like, oh, you gotta go travel the world. I'm gonna go see everywhere in the world. And they get like, they get a map,
a globe, and they
twirl it, and then they put their finger on somewhere on the map, and then they say, Bali. And then the next call is him on a bus to a little Irish village called Ballyhaunus.
Ballyhaunus.
That's the gag.
And that's why you should buy sausages from this brand.
It's Bally. Ballyhaunus. That's Bally. Where I'm going.
Ballyhaunus. Oh, look, it's a short journey. Nice little village.
Not great when described, but better in person. And also, imagine Oscar-nominated Paul Mescal starring in it.
I mean, look, great day for sausages in the town.
Do you think they're going to put that forever? Like, whenever they sell a sausage, that company is going to be just like, we were once sponsored by Oscar-nominated and maybe Oscar-winning Paul Mescal.
Honestly, surely, like, they have to do a before and after. Or, like, when, you know, when he's on, like, talk shows and things like that.
Yeah.
That's the ad that's going to be brought on. As like, oh, look what you did in the early days of your career. But, like, and I know he wasn't given a lot of range, but he's still really good in that ad. Like, no disrespect, Paul.
We're not slagging him. We're literally the proudest we've ever been of anyone.
We're so happy for Paul.
Like, Paul and Barry are our two. Like, Colin and Brendan, they're already locked in. Like, the two boys are legends.
We know they're great.
Yeah, we know they're great. But the young lads, like, who are under 32... Like, these boys, they need it. Also, there's a whole thing with Phoebe Bridgers and
Bo Burnham.
Yeah, Bo Burnham, and they were like, there's like a load of tweets in Ireland, because Paul Mescal, not going to get into it, he was dating Phoebe Bridgers, and now they've apparently broken up, and then she was seen with Bo Burnham, who, another man we also like, but then somebody on Twitter was like, neither of them are ever welcome on these lands again. You insult Paul. You insult all of us.
It's like when there's a bad breakup with your friends and you're like, no, we're siding with him or we're siding with her.
Because the thing about this place, right, is everyone knows everyone. So everyone's like, no, you can't slag Paul. Paul's one of the lads. So to see him get Best Actor nominated for After Sun, which is his first role in a block, in his first leading role in a movie, and he's been nominated for an Oscar. And then the other stat was, in his first TV series, he was nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah. And like he's just killing it, this will propel his career massively. Like, this is now he's been fairly well known.
Yeah.
Now, like, this is like, if he wins this, let's imagine a world where Paul Mescal wins Best Actor in a leading role on his first score.
So we're just laughing because we'll just be like, it's kind of like, see, to put it in perspective. So say you've got one friend who you've just always known as, he's just like, that's Tom, right?
Yeah.
Tom's part of the crew. He's just every single day, you go hang out. And you know Tom's a bit of a fucking idiot sometimes as well.
He's up for a laugh. Like, he doesn't take things too seriously.
He's not perfect, but he's not absolute. And so then Tom is getting all these awards. Suddenly, in whatever field he's in, they're like, Tom is the smartest, best man that's ever lived.
Tom like, left hurling training early so he could go do an interview to be the head of Google, is what this is.
And, like, and everyone at Google's like, that's the fucking best man we've ever met. He's Bill Gates multiplied by 10. He's fucking amazing. And you're like, I seen him once get sick in his own hands.
Then he clapped for some reason.
And he like, Tom's a fucking idiot, but fuck me, are we proud of him?
And I want to, okay, Paul Mescal, I want to say he's going to be Cyclops in X-Men in the future.
Oh, I hope so.
Which would be fucking huge, all right?
Yeah.
Or Banshee. He'd be a really good Banshee because Banshee's Irish.
Yeah.
Now, if Paul Mescal wins, he will beat out Austin Butler, Colin Farrell, Bill Nighy, and Brendan Fraser.
Oh, he doesn't have a hope. Right, so that's like probably one of the strongest lineups they've had in several years. Like Austin Butler, I can see them giving it to Austin because of the whole Elvis thing, and he's still talking in the Elvis accent, and you know how it is, and it's a very good performance.
Could just as easily see Brendan Fraser getting it for The Whale. Like, that's apparently exactly, a career defining
role. And it's one
for
of
him.
Those where whoever wins, they all seem like very nice people. So, like,
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. There's no arseholes up for the award, I would say.
No. I mean, if Colin Farrell wins, I think his speech would be blockbuster, just because he's the nicest man in the world.
And then Paul's speech also would be hilarious. I imagine it would be like he's accepting a trophy for winning a local match.
The big fucking Irish head in them going up. Because Colin Farrell has Hollywood good looks. Whereas Paul goes up with his fucking Irish head going, well, lads, fucking thanks for the award.
Happy
talk
to be in LA, like. Then I will say, look, Brendan Gleeson and Barry Keoghan are both up for Banshees of Inisherin in the supporting role Oscar.
Do you think they'll split the vote?
I think they could. I think both of them deserve it, but I also think it should go to Ke Huy Quan for...
Oh, no, if he doesn't win, I'm rioting. I'm just happy for the two lads.
Yeah, the two lads happy to be there, absolutely brilliant. But, like, he should get it, because he's...
No, I think we're all in agreement, regardless. To be like, you know how much we want him to win, that we are like, Barry, we don't mind him getting nominated, but he shouldn't win it. Because, I mean, it's obvious who should win it. And
Ke Huy Quan,
I think,
should get that.
It's probably similar to, like Brendan Gleeson. I mean, he's just excellent himself. But I could also see in, say, like, the main one, Brendan Fraser winning would be very similar. Where it's just like, look, everyone likes Brendan Fraser. Let him win. Also, Bill Nye, very good. I don't think he's going to win, but he's always excellent at literally everything he ever does.
Yeah, he's and Bill Nye rarely misses, to be honest.
I mean, Sean, About Time, that's all I need to say.
That's all I need to say. Just watch About Time. It's really, really good. It's really heartbreaking. What can I say? Yeah. Actress in a leading role, then. Michelle Yeoh should absolutely get that for Everything Everywhere as well.
Oh, if she doesn't,
again, another riot if that doesn't happen.
And you know, like, because she's so fucking good. Like, and so, like, Cate Blanchett, Ana de Armas, like, Michelle Williams, Andrea Riseborough, like, they're all very good. I think Michelle Yeoh has to win it. Like, Everything Everywhere All at Once, she fucking carries, the two of them carry that movie so much. And to see, like, say, like, Jamie Lee Curtis gets her first nominee as Best Supporting Actress. Like,
and Stephanie Soo as well.
And, like, fucking crazy. Like, I think it's Everything Everywhere All at Once and Banshees have kind of just, like, swarmed this fucking Oscars because they're so good. And then maybe you have a little bit of The Whale, and then always a little bit of Elvis. Angela Bassett getting nominated for Black Panther Wakanda Forever is very, very cool. Just as
But, like, she is better than that film deserves, though. Like, and that's the best of the recent phase of Marvel movies, I think it's safe enough to say. But Angela Bassett is just, like, she shouldn't be allowed to be that good in a movie.
I think what happened was, like, obviously with Chadwick's passing, the whole movie had to be rewritten, the whole plot had to be rewritten, and it was probably said, like, Angela, you're going to be fucking leading this. Like, you're going to be one
you're
of two.
Carry
you're
this
one
on your
A
back,
and one B.
Like.
Yeah, like, and Angela Bassett, who is one of the greatest actors probably living, that she's just like, cool, give me the script, give me the ball, and I'll run down the fucking field and catch it myself.
And then, I'm just going through the Academy list here as well, but for animated feature film, there's one that I think should win, but then there's one that I know is going to win. Okay.
Right. Is the one that you think should win is the Irish one?
No, this is the animated.
Oh, sorry.
The animated feature, excuse me, not the short.
Sorry.
But the Sea Beast is real good and it's about pirates, is all I want to say. So that should win every award, because then more pirate movies will be made. However, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio is absolutely going to win the best animated feature.
Yes. But, I mean, to be fair, Guillermo del Toro, also, as everyone knows who listens to this show, we give out props to very nice person. Seems like a very nice person.
When Jared Leto sent Margot Robbie that rat, Guillermo del Toro adopted it. Just because he likes it.
Just a nice man.
It's a nice, just friendly, let him win things.
There's so many. What I'm going to need you to do is I'm going to need you to give me straight out your pick for each award. And then when it all doesn't come true, we're going to look like fucking idiots. But I'm going to trust you that you're going to at least get one right.
Right, okay. I haven't seen every one of them, by the way, just for what that's worth. But... okay.
Every year in the Oscars, there's at least one in every category. You're like, I haven't seen that.
That's true. I want to watch as many as possible, though. And I found there's a thread on Twitter that like lists where to watch them all legally. So I'm going to go through that. Okay, going through it. I think Colin Farrell is going to get it for Banshees of Inisherin in Best Actor. I think supporting role, Ke Huy Quan for Everything Everywhere. Best Actress in the leading role, Michelle Yeoh. Best Actress in a Supporting Role. Oh, I think I want to give it to Jamie Lee Curtis. I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think Guillermo del Toro is going to win Best Animated Feature. Cinematography, I think it might go to All Quiet on the Western Front, but I'm not 100%
about it. Best Director.
Best Director.
So you got Martin McDonagh, the two Daniels.
Yeah,
Spielberg, Todd Field, or Ruben Östlund. So I think it's probably between McDonagh or the two Daniels.
Yeah, I think on direction it would be the Daniels. Look, Spielberg is up there. I think they have to nominate Spielberg anytime he makes anything.
I think Spielberg is up there because he's Spielberg. I think The Fabelmans is a very good movie, but I don't think it's in the realm of Everything Everywhere All at Once as a spectacle or as like as a production put together by the directors.
I think the Daniels just, that's a such a, like, it wouldn't be the same movie without them. It's they're the reason it's so good. So
I should actually bring up Waffles message into the Instagram. By the way, love it when people message in. There's lots of questions that always pop up. I just thought of it there now looking here. Is that he was asking us what we thought of the Banshees of Inisherin and wondering if we could do a review on it in the Lazarus Pit. So if you'd be, I'm happy to add it into the hat to cover it over on the Patreon. But if you wanted to give us a general overview, Sean, what do you think of Banshees of Inisherin just as a movie itself?
I really like it. A lot of people are split on it. And people are saying it's a movie where nothing happens, but that's the point.
Yeah,
because that is small Ireland living, and like it's set in the '20s, but it's like it's not 100% different from how it is now. It deals very well with the Irish idea of don't talk about it, which is like there's this mentality in Ireland of it'll be grand, just leave it alone, it'll sort itself out. And so you have Brendan Gleeson, who is like so obsessed with being remembered that he's willing to cut off his own fucking fingers so he can try and write some music. And Colin Farrell's character is just like, no, that's mental. That's weird. It's weird that this is happening. But everyone else around him is like, no, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just don't talk about it. And then it escalates because he doesn't leave it alone. But we, the audience, are like, no, that is insane. Why is he cutting off his fingers?
I think it's one of those, as you said, nothing happens, but everything happens within the nothingness. If I was going to say it, like, so as, like, if someone said, could you recommend me a movie? It's really depending on, like, are they just in for, like, do they just want to waste, or not waste, but like, are they in for I've only got 2 hours free, I'm going to go Everything Everywhere All at Once. Watch that in terms of like, that's going to fucking be so entertaining. But as a movie, I was like, Banshees of Inisherin is the performances, the direct, so good of a movie that shouldn't work. That it's like, because it is about nothing, but that's kind of its strength in that then you just have Farrell and you have McDonagh and you have Gleeson and you have Kerry Condon and they're just like, right, well, we're just going to carry this. Just with just being us. And Barry as well. Like, everyone's seen all that scene with Barry, professing his love, trying to gain Kerry Condon's, just trying to get her to, like, be in a relationship with him. And that performance itself is, like, the perfect epitome of the movie in that he's literally, like, he's not being animated, but it's in his words. Everything he says And if you just, like, watch it, you're just like, fuck, like, I'm in this.
Yeah, and, like, you don't, like, grow, like, the way that that... It's Barry Keoghan's character. I forget his name, but, like, his life is going to live and die on that island. Mm. And, like, whether he does or doesn't... like, sorry, whether he lives to an old age or he doesn't, he is living and dying on that island. Like, there's no immediacy to any of it. Like, he's just doing... but he does the same thing every day. And they all do that. They all just get up, do their jobs, go to the pub, get up, do their jobs, do to the pub, over and over and over again. And the only one then who gets, quote-unquote, away is the sister, who gets a job on the mainland.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the only way to break the pattern, I suppose.
And I think Colin Farrell probably... Colin Farrell in that movie is so good. Like, so fucking good.
It's the speech right up there in the pub when he's drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
So heartbreaking.
Like, the two movies that Colin Farrell, I think his best performances are either The Banshees of Inisherin or Phone Booth. Another fucking classic
Phone Booth
movie.
Is fucking unreal.
So
if you
good.
Haven't seen Phone Booth, go watch it. Colin Farrell carries it on his back.
Like, they're just like the fucking best performances he's ever put in. And I think Banshees is so good because he's just, like, he's an idiot. Like, he's just a normal, regular, like, he's not perfect. He just wants to have a pint with his friend, and he can't understand what's changed in this world. And, like, he's just... And his, I think Kerry Condon's character is like, you're just a bit simple. Like, it's just he wants to live a simple life, and he doesn't really think further than his nose about anything, ever.
Yeah, and he's like... And is that a bad thing? Like, he's nice.
No, because he's harmless. It's said in the movie, he's absolutely harmless. Like, he doesn't do anything bad to anyone. But he also doesn't think larger about anything. And so then the question is just the interactions of those characters. If you haven't seen The Banshees, I would absolutely recommend it. I don't know if it would hit... Probably hits different for people who aren't Irish as opposed to ourselves.
Yeah, I don't know how the Irishness of it translates, but I think it's still worth a watch. Anyway.
What I will say is Waffles thought it was absolutely great. So,
excellent.
I mean, it's gotten down under. So it's pretty good down there, but there's, to be fair, there's Irish people all over Australia and New Zealand. So I don't know if that translates. But yeah, I would say Colin Farrell. I could see Brendan Fraser, though, getting it just because the story as well.
That's the thing. And, like, both would be deserved, I would say.
Like, I think if Fraser won and there's no Irish people that actually won any awards, I think that's absolutely fine. Because I think all those movies they're in are all really good, but sometimes you can just be like, yeah, Fraser probably is really good. Jamie Lee Curtis, really good. Like, Kerry Condon, she's excellent in The Banshees. But Jamie Lee Curtis, I like that story more. Her or Angela Bassett getting it.
Yeah, I think so. And in terms of the international thing, I think The Quiet Girl has quite a good chance of getting it.
Mm.
All Quiet on the Western Front is the German international feature film, so that might get it either. That was quite successful. But I think for my best picture, I think it's going to be Everything Everywhere is what I put money on.
And so then my last one, visual effects. All Quiet on the Western Front, Black Panther, Top Gun, Avatar, or The Batman?
I think Avatar. It's going to be Avatar. Yeah, yeah, if I had to say.
Which, by the way, passed $2 billion this
Insane.
Week. So, Sean, I think we should say we were wrong. We were
famously wrong, I want to say.
This is actually almost like we're wrong about most things.
We are wrong about nearly everything. But what I do want to say, and this is not related to the Oscars or movies. It's related to movies, I guess. But have you watched The Menu yet?
No, I watched a trailer.
Yeah, watch The Menu. It's really good. It's class.
It's real good.
It's real good. Real good watch.
You know what I did? I clicked on it, right? And I watched the trailer and I went, that looks a bit scary for a Sunday evening.
Look, you're not wrong. It's not even that scary. It's more of a thriller, I would say, than a horror. Okay?
Actually, I think that was the day I watched The Banshees. I think it was the two of them. I watched both trailers and went, ah, fuck it, I watched The Banshees.
It's about as suspenseful. It's more suspenseful than Banshees, but it's like, don't know if there's anything I can compare it to, really. But just watch it. It's really, really good. Ralph Fiennes is in it, so he's kind of Irish.
And Nicholas Holt and Anya Taylor-Joy.
And Anya Taylor-Joy. So you got everyone in there.
I hope, I think Avatar is going to win it. Also, did you see the weird thing? Zoe Saldana has been in four movies that have been over $2 billion grossing.
That's huge. She is in the list of like top actors with top highest grossing movies. But like the rest of that is like Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock. But that's just because of the amount that they've been in. But Zoe Saldana has just like had some of the top ones and not done as many movies. It's really weird.
No, her run is fucking crazy because she's in both those Avengers, Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
And she's in the first Avatar and now the second Avatar. So there's the four of them. How many actors have been in all four of them? No. Has anyone ever had four $2 billion movies on their resume? I don't think so. I think she's the only person.
I'd wager Chris Evans probably does. And Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. You know,
technically, like the ensembles Civil War? And stuff. Like.
Did Civil War break $2 billion?
I think Civil War broke $2 billion, didn't it? Civil War.
Who gives a fuck about how much money a movie makes? But I'm just saying it's a cool stat that she can kind of throw around.
Like, got 1.1 mil. So, you know.
So not, she's the only one.
She's the only one. Yeah. Famously. Only one there'll ever be.
So yes, the Oscars are coming up. All of Ireland will be awake because we famously never win anything, and we are very surprised and very excited about what could happen.
Do you watch the Oscars? Would you stay up to watch the Oscars?
I know you have before at like a party.
I do
it or
most
something,
years. Yeah. There's an Oscars party, and then during lockdown we stayed up and watched it as well. It's like it's a fun time.
I'm going to Sleepy Betty Boys. You know what I mean? Got work in the morning.
What if someone slaps someone again, Connor? I have the day after the Oscars booked off because I'm just staying up for it.
This man loves movies. You know
love
what I mean?
Film. What can I say? Eat, sleep, breathe, pirates.
So look, big shout out to everyone, especially Barry and Paul, just because you're absolute fucking legends. Barry's story, by the way, has been going all over Twitter about the thing of like how he grew up and then he answered an ad at a shop window looking for an extra. Yeah. In a movie looking for, I think it was a milkman or a delivery man or something. And that was in 2010. And now 13 years later, he's Oscar nominated in a movie.
That's huge. That's insane. The Irish reaction, regardless, is just, we're just happy for the lads and ladies involved.
Yeah. And Kerry Condon, everyone was like, yeah, she fucking deserved that as well. She was.
Yeah, Kerry Condon kills it in that movie.
Yeah, fucking fantastic. Okay, so we're going to move on, Sean. We don't have more Oscar news because it is Oscars week, but it's also random news story week because we have trailers we want to talk about that I want to get to later on. But first, we've got maybe, perhaps, a series. It's more of a headline of an idea I wanted to throw to you to see how you feel.
Right, and did you clear this with me beforehand?
I didn't, no.
Right, okay, interesting.
Because
interesting.
I have Ron Howard hopes to see a Solo get a follow-up on Disney Plus in its own series. Now, this is why I brought it up, because everyone remembers Solo, A Star Wars Story. A movie, surprisingly, just, it was grand. It happened, it was fine. So what happened then is Ron Howard obviously directed it. He came in for Lauren Miller halfway through. He directed it. Ron Howard, pretty big name in Hollywood, and he kind of hopes to see Solo get a follow-up on Disney Plus. Could you see something like that happen?
I suppose, which might be better than a follow-up movie, because there was an intention to do a series of Solo. This is okay. I hate the naming convention. A series of stories about Han Solo in movie format. They set up a lot of threads in the first Solo.
Oh, so many threads!
You got Kira. Is that her name?
Although I think Emilia Clarke came out this week and was like, I'm not coming back to Star Wars.
Honestly, yeah, can't blame her.
She's been burned so many times.
She's had some bad franchise results. Terminator, for one.
Do you remember Terminator?
Remember Terminator Genesis? Is that
I think it was Genesis,
in?
Yeah.
Wasn't good. Just wasn't very good. I think like Andor got very good reviews. I've not watched it, but a lot of people have told me to watch it.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So if it was like they got the Solo treatment from that and it's just a story about Darth Maul's crime ring, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. That'll absolutely work.
Could you see like, would people care? I think it's harder to do a Han Solo Disney Plus series of like a prequel Disney Plus series of Han Solo the character.
Yeah, so you wind into like, he has to do a bunch of stuff and has to have all these adventures, and then none of them be addressed in the original trilogy when he actually shows up. It's going to be like, you know, in Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin and Obi-Wan keep quipping, oh, it's like the time you fell into that dragon's nest. Yeah. And it's just like, well, where is that? What's going on there?
That's one of the most annoying things in that movie, because I'm like, these all sound really interesting. Why are we covering this story?
Whereas now it's going to be, he's going to do all of that and then none of it be addressed. And all of the characters that he meets, none of them will ever show up again.
Do you remember that time you nearly died 15 times? No, I genuinely cannot remember that. As a character, I'm just, you know, it's 1977 and I don't know why that's happened.
Yeah, and so, and like, you can't just have him, you know, like Donald Glover isn't coming back for the Disney Plus
solo. I don't think Donald
series.
Glover's going, you might get Alden. Alden might come back for like a 6-episode series.
What's Alden done after Solo?
I don't know, I think he's been pretty busy. I think he's been pretty busy. Yeah, yeah, you see Alden's name a few times. I can't particularly name a specific franchise or a movie.
He got a real bad rap because he had to get acting lessons on the set of Solo, but he had to get improv lessons because he's not an improv actor.
But that's, I mean, there's not a lot of people that aren't improv actors.
Oh, Jesus, no. Hang on a minute, Connor.
Go on.
2018, he's in Solo, A Star Wars Story.
True.
Doesn't work again until, 2020, he did a show called Brave New World. Don't know what that's about. It's a Peacock original, so not very successful, I want to say.
Good stuff.
However, he is upcoming. He's going to be in Ironheart in a role that has not been revealed.
Cool.
Also upcoming, 2023, Cocaine Bear.
He's not playing Cocaine Bear, is he?
He's playing Marty in Cocaine Bear. Fuck. And then he's also in Oppenheimer.
What?
He's in Oppenheimer. I don't know what he's cast as. But he's
fucking, shout out to Alden.
It's the Alden Renaissance. The Renaldon Sons.
I'm all in on Alden. I'm Alden in on Alden is what I am. I mean, that's amazing.
Honestly, I wish the best for him because I feel we were harsh on him back in the day.
I think it was a movie that I think, yeah, people were very harsh on coming out, and they were like, because obviously like Han Solo is a character people love, so they seen this movie and they were like, oh, this is going to be shit. And I mean, we were on the radio at that time talking about trailers, I remember. And I remember we were like, this is going to be bad. But especially with all the production problems behind the scenes. And then the movie came out, and I feel like because everyone expected it to be terrible, it was just like, it was absolutely fine. Like a completely passable, fun movie. You can turn it on and it won't change your life for better or worse, having seen it.
But it's much better than The Rise of Skywalker as a movie.
Way better, yeah. And I think it's just because people wanted it to be so bad that they could hate it, that when it wasn't, I think they still had that like feeling that like it must be really shit. I'm not saying it's fucking winning Oscars, but like there's loads of movies that are absolutely grand, unfortunately.
Yeah, that are just fine. Like, and some movies that are bad as well. We've all watched Love and Thunder.
Mm. We all remember Love and Thunder. That happened. Sean, I feel like we should probably move on. I just wanted to throw that idea at you. Obviously, the Oscars have taken up a lot of this show because, I mean, it's Oscars. It's big news.
It's a
movie show. What can you do? But
really should have talked about when they were announced last Tuesday. But hey, what do we do? We're locked in.
Everyone else has moved on. We're hot on the topic of what's new. But Sean, I feel like we need to move on to our latest, and I have this as one of my favourite new segments, our latest Fantastic Four rumour about the movie Marvel have not announced anything for.
Excellent. Yeah, it's coming out soon, and we don't have a cast or anything like that.
No cast, no crew, no director, no nothing. So, Fantastic Four, there's a new rumour as to who would play Mr. Fantastic. So a few weeks ago it was Adam Driver, then before that it was the guy from You. What's that guy's
Penn
name?
Badgley.
Penn Badgley, yeah.
John Cho has been thrown around. William Jackson Harper, but he's in Ant-Man, so I don't think he's going to be him.
Well, the latest Marvel rumour, Sean, has Ryan Gosling in the running for Fantastic Four.
I'm just going to come in right now and say, no, he's not.
No.
Ryan Gosling has been rumoured for every fucking superhero project that has, since Spider-Man 1, he has been in the running for everything, apparently.
And Gosling is amazing. Like, I mean,
he's great. Great actor.
I'll be honest with you, Sean. He shouldn't be wasting his time doing any of these movies. He should be doing The Nice Guys too, and not wasting everybody else's fucking time, right?
Just make Drive again, you know.
So good.
It's really, really good. I also don't think, like, they're probably not going to, like, Ryan Gosling is 42, where I think they want a younger Mr. Fantastic so they can sign him up for 10 years.
Yeah, I can't see Gosling signing on for, like, 5 movies.
No, I don't think that's in his wheelhouse. I don't think he's interested in it.
No, look, that's fair enough. Like, but now the new rumour is that he would, so they don't say he could be Mr. Fantastic. They say he could be in Fantastic Four. Then it becomes clear he'd probably have to lead the movie because he's Ryan Gosling. You couldn't have, like, some, like, no offence to Penn Badgley, but you couldn't have Penn Badgley and then Ryan Gosling is playing, like, Johnny Storm.
Yeah, I don't think that would work. My dream, because to play him as an absolute psychotic bastard, Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Just an absolute rageful man.
Just a psychopath.
Just an actual psychopath would be amazing.
Because we've covered on this show so many times that Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, is just one of the worst people that's ever lived in comic books. And I just think, they should buy into it. I just think pure psychopathic behaviour, constantly doing the worst possible thing at all times. But you just need Doctor Doom to be slightly worse. Like, he wants to kill 100 orphans, but Doctor Doom wants to kill 500 orphans.
No, and he's here's the thing, is Reed doesn't necessarily want to, but he will. He fucking will.
Like, he's kind of looking at the button like, I mean, I will. Like, if killing 100 orphans would make me even slightly cooler, I would be willing to kill 100 orphans. But like, Doom wants to do it just for the crack.
And for this story, like, look me in the eye and tell me you can imagine Ryan Gosling in one of those grey and black striped suits pretending to stretch his arms really far.
Yeah, it's one of those where I heard the rumour and I was just like, I need to tell Sean, because this is a new weekly thing now, that every single fucking week it's just like somebody else is rumoured for the Fantastic, because we don't have a cast.
Any male actor who isn't already cast is eligible.
I tell you who you cast. I mean, if Barry wasn't already in the MCU, I'd be thinking Barry, but he's already locked in. He's in the MCU and the DCU at the minute.
Paul Mescal. But,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Were you really?
Big Paul.
And then, fuck everything, cast Phoebe Bridgers as Sue Storm. No. Bo Burnham as Johnny Storm.
just an absolute shithouse of a cast.
And Brendan Gleeson as the Thing.
Oh, Brendan would be so good as the Thing.
He'd love to be the Thing.
He'd be so lovable as Ben Grimm.
Ben Grimm,
no,
Irish.
Oh, I'm thinking now, right? No, Mescaline as Reed. Then you get the lady from Normal People, the other one. So, what's that? Daisy. Remember her full name? It's a triple barrel name.
Daisy Edgar Jones.
I was going to say Daisy Ridley Jones, but Daisy Ridley's another person. Daisy entirely. Edgar Jones. So she's Sue Storm. And then you get Brendan Gleeson in as, obviously, and then I take Colin Farrell as Johnny Storm. And then you're absolutely laughing.
Age gap be damned. Like,
he was adopted years before.
I think they're around. Like, it depends how they're introduced. We know nothing about this film as well.
No, nothing. That's why you constantly have rumours. So we can just make up whatever we want.
What is the... Is there a release date or an expected release for Fantastic Four?
February 14, 2025.
Okay, so what? We got 2 years. So that's starting filming this year, presumably. Mm. Probably, like, November time.
It's also being directed by Matt Shackman, and then somebody said he's also rumoured, Ryan Gosling is rumoured as the Sentry.
I hate that less. I hate that a lot less. I think, actually, that's pretty good. And he is an older superhero. Oh,
he's in. I've got him in. That's pretty good. I threw one last little ditch to try and get him in, and I've got him in.
I love when there's Sentry news. Like, there's never Sentry
there's
news.
There's no Sentry news. I just made it up.
Well, there's no Sentry, as far as anyone's concerned.
That is true. The Sentry is a character in comic books who is the most powerful Marvel character ever, but also the most powerful villain in Marvel comic books simultaneously. Yeah.
He only exists when people remember that he exists, so he wipes everyone's memory. We did a Hero Zero that I was quite proud of on the Sentry, actually.
Yeah. You told me you weren't very proud of the Cassie Lang one last week.
It wasn't that I wasn't. I just don't remember saying anything in it, you know.
I went back to listen to it, and I don't normally, because I was like, I want to know what he was talking about.
Oh, it's pure chaos. Like, I don't know what happened to me. It's the complete opposite of that Craven
the Hunter. I think you kind of hold it together. I think you just pull it over the line of just psychopathic behavior.
I forgot so many key aspects and then just peppered them in later in the report.
You were like, oh yeah, the House of M happened.
Oh yeah, Wanda killed everyone.
The nuclear holocaust that happened there 3 pages before I brought this up. Oh, sorry.
So
that happened.
So bear with me. So Iron Lad, he's Kang. And then Iron Lad's armor gets left behind, and that's now Vision.
You think we're making this up? That's exactly a fucking story point that he covered in Hero Zero.
It's quite a key element.
And not only is the Iron Lad's armor Vision, it looks like Tony Stark.
He can mimic himself as Tony Stark.
And he's also in love with Cassie Lang.
Yes, because Iron Lad is in love with Cassie Lang.
Oh,
Iron Lad doesn't want to become Kang, but then to save Cassie Lang, he might become Kang.
We're not covering it again.
Go listen to it. It's fine. It's grand.
I want to cover... next up, we have the fact that How to Train Your Dragon, Sean, might be getting a live-action treatment.
No! Those movies are really good.
Oh, those movies are fantastic.
They're great. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. I love them. They grow up. Hiccup. I love them. Don't give it a... You can't make it look as good as they already look.
This is one of those interesting things where it literally came out... When was the last one? Like 2017 or something? Like maybe a little bit sooner.
Yeah, like it was recent.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? Tree? How to Train Your Dragon Tree?
Yeah, I think it was the third one, yeah.
They also had a load of Netflix shows as well. It's How to Train Your Dragon 3, 2019
Jesus Christ. Okay, so that was like 3 years ago. Well, 4 years ago now.
4 years ago now.
4 years ago now. But apparently Universal Pictures are in active development of a live-action version of the story of Hiccup and Toothless. And so it's what happens is Dean DeBlois? Who was in charge of the last two films. Well, he did the last two animated movies. He's now in charge of the active development of the live-action movie, which slightly softens the blow, but I still think it's absolutely insane that you would take a movie that's really good, and animation is a form of media that you can produce a movie in.
Yeah. I feel the entire reason that they did this as well, and it's the reason why we got some stuff in Multiverse of Madness as well, is that at the end of the third one, he kind of looks like John Krasinski with a beard.
True.
So I think they just want that casting. That the entire thing is built around that, I guarantee you.
And John Krasinski is in it, but everyone acts like he's still like 15.
Yeah. Like, and but who's this for?
The kids are going to watch the animated one.
Yeah.
And, like, the adults aren't really going to be interested in the remake of an animated movie that they watched with the kids 2 years ago.
Yeah, and, like, people like, because we were, like, young-ish when those movies were first coming out. So, like, I would rather watch the animated ones than some reboot.
And they still hold up. They're great movies.
It's not like it's, like, ropey early 2000s CGI 3D animation. It's like they're perfectly... They still look gorgeous and amazing.
I'm really interested to know where they got this idea. I mean, fair enough. I don't think it's going to do very well, unfortunately.
Do you think it's a rights thing? Because it is a book series.
It's true.
So maybe, like the way they had to make a Fantastic Four movie every couple of years to hold on to the rights, maybe it's something similar with How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm. It had a total of 12 books, apparently.
Yeah,
which I
loads
mean,
of them.
Is quite a lot. They also have a series, like a TV show, so 8 seasons and 118 episodes.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. And the last, then it also in 2019, the second show arrived, divided into two parts with 6 seasons and 53 episodes. And then finally in 2021, the third series was released, consisting of 4 seasons and 26 episodes, with the last one released November of last year.
Wow. So there has just been content constantly.
Constantly. Since 2010. Something like that.
I don't see the attractiveness of... Because, look, look, we have technology to make very good, realistic-looking dragons. But that shouldn't be how the dragons in How to Train Your Dragon look. They need to be cute so you can sell merchandise of.
True. True.
You know, you're not getting Game of Thrones-level dragons with How to Train Your Dragon-level storytelling.
My point would always be that my favourite movie ever is The Incredibles.
Yes.
And now that is just a Fantastic Four movie done in animated form, but would that not prove the point that you don't need to have it live action to be much better than the live action version? Because The Incredibles is a fucking amazing film, and The Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer that came out the same year was not so ideal.
Pretty not good. Yeah, like, you need to just let certain things exist in the medium that they were originally made in. And then
Originally novels turned into an animated movie, turned into a series, but that's okay. I don't mind that at all. It's when you start getting live action, I'm like, dude, fine.
Like the transition from animated movie to book, you gain something in the fact that it's animated and in motion.
Mm.
And that they were very successful and very well liked. A lot of people have strong memories attached to those films. But then what do you gain? What can you do better in live action than a children's movie about dragons didn't do in animation?
I would argue very little. And so, speaking of things that you can adapt, Sean, we're going to move into... We got 2 trailers to get to. We got 10 minutes. So I'm interested to see how you're going to split this, okay? So first of all, we got Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves trailer that came out. Sean, this is our second trailer for this movie. You are a big D&D fan. I'm interested to know how you feel about watching this. A game converted to a movie.
My God. Who could ever possibly? He says, excited for the Warhammer series. I like this trailer less than the first one.
Interesting. Okay.
But also, this trailer seems more like every D&D game I've ever played.
It's more chaotic, but I think that's more like a D&D game.
Yeah, and I think this is a trailer for people who can relate to certain events like this happening in their own D&D games. There's a lot of things in this trailer where someone clearly rolled a 1, you know, that kind of a way, and they just fuck up horribly, and then they're on the back foot and have to deal with it.
What I enjoyed in the first scene was Michelle Rodriguez fighting off all the people, and then Chris Pine just, like, trying to save himself, not once trying to help her.
And there are, like, characters, like Roger John Page, when he's like, I find sarcasm...
A bit like Drax.
Yeah, he's a bit like Drax, But he has no points in charisma.
Mm.
Like, he is just, like, power-leveled into fucking magic or whatever it is. Whereas Chris Pine clearly has all the points in charisma and none of the points in, I assume, stealth and things like that.
You also have Justice Smith in here, Sophia Lillis, and Hugh Grant is in this fucking movie. But also now we know that there's an army of the undead, which I assume Hugh Grant doesn't control, so he's like the mini villain before the big villain.
Probably made a deal, gave power to the big villain. Kill the big villain, I wager all those Army of the Dead shut down immediately.
Oh, you're goddamn right. There's a big laser in the sky. You got to kill the big one.
I'm thinking red or purple laser we're going to see.
But you know
crystal?
What? Look, there's going to be a crystal in the zombie's head or necklace that if you destroy it, all the other zombies turn to dust.
So, and they stole something from the wrong person, all this kind of thing. The horn, the magical horn, clearly that's intended for the bard to blow it. I think he's not going to blow it. He's going to learn humility and let Michelle Rodriguez blow the horn to
save
everyone.
Interesting. I think this movie looks like a fun romp, is what I'd say.
It looks fun it's probably the best you can do with a D&D movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like it.
I have written here three words: cool, weird, and then I just have good question mark question mark.
That was what I put on my CV when I applied to this podcast.
And I think I was watching it as someone who doesn't play D&D. I was like, this looks like a bit of a fucking romp. I could watch this. And I'm always like, because you watch it on a Sunday afternoon, dying with a hangover.
Probably you could.
Probably could.
Yeah, and like it doesn't look to be pandery either. Like it doesn't, like the trailer could have easily done a lot more like head nods and like, oh, the roll of dice. Like, you know. Have actual like beat you over the head references to the game you all like, but they don't, and it just looks like a little fantasy adventure movie.
Yeah, I think it could be fun. Also, the duo, the writer directors that are doing it, Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, they are the duo behind Game Night from a few years ago. Which
was Game Night any good?
Game Night is amazing. It's a great film. Really, really fun.
Good to know.
Yeah, really funny. Game Night's one that I would definitely recommend Game Night if you haven't seen it. Sharon Horgan is in it.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch it.
You have to watch it now. I always go by Irish people to lure them in. So we're finishing off Movie Mondays this week, Sean, talking about a trailer that I know you're excited about. A movie I wasn't even going to cover because I was like, we'll talk about the Oscars. But then I felt like we had to cover it. And that is Shazam, Fury of the Gods, in a universe that doesn't kind of exist anymore. Sean, a Shazam, Fury of the Gods trailer, what did you think of it?
I've never watched a trailer and been so confused as to what's happening before. I don't know what this is about. I don't know why I should care. I don't think I like it.
But I Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren are in it. I was like, they seem like cool people.
They do. They seem really cool and fun, but also like, what's the point? What's the point of any of this happening? Why is there a dragon in it? What's that about?
Also, the bit with the dragon really annoyed me. Two things watching the trailer. One is he then makes a Khaleesi joke, which is a Game of Thrones reference. Which
yeah.
I heard that and I went, oh lads, this script was written a few years back. And secondly, when he's going to fly into the dragon, he very quietly says to himself, Shazam! Which, I don't know if you know, but he would then just turn into a child floating towards a big dragon.
I don't think he's going to be a child for a lot of this movie.
No, either. I think Zachary Levi's in it and he's sticking around.
Yeah. Also, like, they're all superheroes and they all might as well have the same powers in this.
Yeah.
I know they specialise a little bit, but, like, they're just seven Shazams.
I think watching this is, like, I don't want to be negative. I just think it's probably more so sad because, like, it's more, watching it is like, it makes me think of 2015 DC or like 2016 and like all this. I don't know if that's kind of the vibe they should be going for anymore. The movie had to be made. I think it could be fine. The first one was fine. So this one could also be fine. Zachary Levi is very good in the role. He's very charismatic. I'm sure he'll be able to catch it, capture it. We talked about it originally was Billy Batson, so Asher Angel, and then Shazam, Captain Marvel. They're not the same human being, even though they say Shazam and then he grows up real big, but they're acting completely different movies, so I'm interested to see if they start acting in the same movie in this one.
I don't know, because like the way, because Shazam kind of acts like Deadpool in a lot of the scenes we see him in.
Yeah, the vibe is, Shazam is very, I wouldn't say full on Deadpool, but I would say, yeah, more comedic.
Yeah, he's Deadpool, like he's
a 10-year-old.
He's a 10-year-old that's written by a 40-year-old studio executive.
Yeah.
That's how Zachary Levi acts in the movie. Whereas the kid is given these like really personal down-to-earth moments about how hard it is to be a kid. And he's an orphan. And he just wants to find a family who loves him. Like, he has all that to deal with. Then he goes to Shazam and it's just like dick jokes. And
then he just has like an improv class kind of five-minute set.
He just does a tight five with any character that happens to be around him. Like, he would be scared shitless in a lot of situations. And in this, a lot of the conflict seems to be that he doesn't want the powers anymore and he tries to get...
I do kind of like that. I think that is very Shazam-esque. That he's like, look, this is fucking bad news. I'm a kid. Like, I give these powers to somebody else. And I do think that's probably the best power of the trailer. That I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. That he's like, he's just a kid. And he's, of course, he would react like that. Like, they've got a fucking dragon. They seem really powerful. I don't know if I can handle this.
My question: do we get a Black Adam post-credit scene?
I don't think he's in this. I don't think he's in this at all.
We didn't think Superman was in Black Adam, Connor, but...
I mean, no, we did. The Rock very clearly told us in what he was.
But do you think this movie will try and set something up, is my question?
I think The Rock is out. And so, I mean, well, James Good has said, I'm pretty sure The Rock is out. So...
Right.
I think if they were going to do an after credit scene, I think that was squashed. Once Gunn came in
and brought in the gun control, of course,
the gun control. So then you have, I mean, they might loosely try and set one up of some sort, but I mean, nothing will ever come of it. So what is the point? You might as well cut it from the movie.
That's fair. And James Gunn, for what's worth, he did tweet out this trailer when it dropped. I don't know if that's a studio obligation thing. Or
no, he's come out and said he likes Zachary Levi and he likes David F. Sandberg.
Okay.
As Shazam, but I think Zachary Levi could be a really good Shazam. I think that's not an issue.
But I don't have any desire to see this movie.
It's one of those issue. Where I think it's the right casting in the right role, but it might be like a weird time because I think it's just a fucked up time to be like releasing one of these. Same with Aquaman, like Jason Momoa, excellent Aquaman, but like it's a weird time to be releasing a DC movie at this point because we're kind of in that limbo part where nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, and not to end on a downer note, I don't know if I look forward to movies anymore. And we'll leave it there. But that's the way I feel sometimes, you know? All the things I used to like no longer interest or entertain me.
I think we should clip that in the intro of every episode.
Just preface every episode of Movie Monday as well. I don't think I like this.
Guys, I actually don't think I like movies anymore.
It's not that I don't like them. I like movies.
You just got excited about the menu, didn't you?
Banshees. Menu's real good. Yeah, Banshees have been assuring real good.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Have I been burned out by superhero content,
movies,
Connor?
It's superhero movies,
oh
Sean.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I'm so sick of roller coasters.
Did we just? I think Endgame was your end.
Maybe it was. Maybe it should have been. Nah, never.
What about the Batman?
Batman's real good, actually. Oh,
the
back
Batman's
in.
Real good. That
back
kind of
in.
Rejuvenated us.
We needed that. We need a Batman every now and again.
I actually think the Batman coming out means this movie gets more like you just react in a stronger negative way because you're like, I've seen what they could do and now we're back to this.
I know what's possible.
That's a great fucking way to end this week.
I'm really sorry.
Sean, to enjoy movies again, could just go over to our Patreon where we reviewed Ant-Man number one for
first
this
Ant-Man. And look, we agreed it was solid and entertaining, didn't we, Connor? Or did we? Go listen to it.
You said it was shit.
I did. I said I hate all cinema. No, but... would you like me to take us out, Connor?
Yes, why not?
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big shout-outs to all the amazing patrons that we have that support the show and help to keep us going. Shout-outs to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson. Fun facts with waffles. Did you know the kiwi lays the largest egg in ratio to its body of any bird? David Clark, Sean Chuck It in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, The Adventures of Indiana Jones and the Franchise That Just Won't Die, Connor and Lorraine had completely forgot to shorten their long nickname until catching up on the podcast recently, Russ, Character Limit Be Damned, it was just a temporary setback this whole naming malarkey, but I'm still just Russ, Parfit, and Jackson Bruheim. Thank you all for the support. You're wonderful, wonderful humans. and we couldn't do it without you. Other ways to support the show, heroesforhire.ie/shop is the merch store. Twitter is at heroesforhirepod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilment's discussion group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
I will say, the more people that sign up, the more likely it is we kill them. So, I mean, we can keep going.
That's then it's done, you know?
We all get finished. What we want. Sean, especially. Do I think that's it for this week?
I think so. We swapped there.
I'm going to say I've been Conor Lawler.
And I have been Sean Meehan.
And we both love movies.
Both love movies. Yay. Equally. The same amount of love. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.